Part C, Directions. You will hear three pieces of recorded material. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only.
Questions 11 to 13 are based on the following written speech on how to get a raise. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 to 13.
Here are proven tips from a career strategist to put extra money in your paycheck. To win a raise, you must be a top performer and you have to make your case known. Yet when it comes to asking for an increase, many of us become like Oliver Twist approaching his master for gruel. "Please, sir, I want some more." Everybody wants a raise, but few know how to ask without sounding like a beggar. Here are two steps to help you make an effective case. 1. Change your attitude. The most common roadblock to higher earning is what I call the good student attitude. Think back to the 8th grade when your job was merely to pass. The requirements were clearly spelled out. At the end of the year, every student who had done an adequate job was automatically promoted. Work is different. You can't expect the system to take care of you. You must take care of it. Too many of us forget this. When there's a pitfall in the workload, for example, we sit around waiting for them to tell us what to do. If profits sink, we blame them for decisions that we knew to be bad, forgetting that we never tried to influence those decisions. And we fear that mixing with a boss would be seen as apple polishing. This attitude can be dangerous. You need to make your relationship with your boss as important as doing your job well. 2. Give more of yourself. Just doing your job well does not get you a raise. That's exactly what you were hired for in the first place. To fatten your paycheck, you need to do something extra. Many of us already work beyond the boundaries of our jobs without realizing it. Try this. At the end of every workday, ask yourself, "What have I done that wasn't called for in my job?" Write it on your calendar. When your next performance appraisal comes around, you'll have a record of achievements that you could never reconstruct from memory. Questions 14 to 16 are based on the following speech on the new millennium. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 14 to 16.
My dear friends all over the world, today we celebrate a special new year with a momentous number, the year 2000. As we move into a new millennium, many of us have much to be thankful for. Most of the world is at peace. Most of us are better educated than our parents or grandparents, and can expect to live longer lives, with greater freedom and a wider range of choices. A new century brings new hope, but can also bring new dangers, or old ones in a new and alarming form. Some of us fear seeing our jobs and our way of life destroyed by economic change. Others fear the spread of violence or disease. Others still are more worried that human activities may be ruining the global environment, on which our life depends. No one knows for sure how serious each of these dangers will be. But one thing they have in common, they do not respect state frontiers. Even the strongest state, acting alone, may not be able to protect its citizens against them. More than ever before in human history, we all share a common destiny. We can master it only if we face it together. And that, my friends, is why we have the United Nations. Through the United Nations, we're working together to preserve peace, to outlaw weapons that kill and maim indiscriminately, to bring mass murderers and war criminals to justice. Through the United Nations, we're working together to defeat AIDS and other epidemics, to control climate change, to make clean air and water available to everyone. Through the United Nations, we're working together to ensure that the global market benefits all of us, freeing the poor to lift themselves out of poverty. In all these areas and more, the United Nations is working for you, but it can do little without you. After all, it belongs to you, to the peoples of the world, and therefore it can work much better with your help and your ideas. My friends, the new millennium need not be a time of fear or anxiety. If we work together and have faith in our own abilities, it can be a time of hope and opportunity. It's up to us to make it so. Happy New Year. Questions 17 to 20 are based on a professor's lecture on medical care. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 17 to 20.
The medical world is gradually realizing that the quality of the environment in hospitals may play a significant role in the process of recovery from illness. As part of a nationwide effort in Britain to bring art out of the galleries and into public places, some of the country's most talented artists have been called in to transform older hospitals and to soften the hard edges of modern buildings. Of the 2,500 National Health Service hospitals in Britain, almost 100 now have significant collections of contemporary art in corridors, waiting areas, and treatment rooms. These recent initiatives owe a great deal to one artist, Peter Senior, who set up his studio at a Manchester hospital in northeastern England during the early 1970s. He felt the artist had lost in modern society and that art should be enjoyed by a wider audience. A typical hospital waiting room might have as many as 5,000 visitors each week. What better place to hold regular exhibitions of art? Peter Senior held the first exhibition of his own paintings in the outpatients waiting area of the Manchester Royal Hospital in 1975. Believed to be Britain's first hospital artist, Senior was so much in demand that he was soon joined by a team of 6 young art school graduates. The effect is striking. Now in the corridors and waiting rooms, the visitor experiences a full view of fresh colors, playful images, and restful courtyards. The quality of the environment may reduce the need for expensive drugs when a patient is recovering from an illness. A study has shown that patients who had a view onto a garden needed half the number of strong painkillers compared with patients who had no view at all or only a brick wall to look at.
That is the end of Part C.